T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
By the way, Ray, one of these days we got to redo that. Those references are getting a little old. We've been, we've been running that same thing for more than a decade. So, anyway, what we're watching is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big year-end sale. Receive 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call or visit goguida.com. All right, you and I love doing this segment. We get a lot of feedback on this segment, which I always appreciate. And you've always been kind of the movies guy. I've always been the TV guy.
Right.
Now, this year, TV was great. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. Movies, kind of sparse. And, you know, again, we were kind of locked up for a good part of the year. Didn't go out. But once we did, you went to the theaters. You saw some movies. And you've said that you can't do a top 10 this year because there weren't 10 good movies.
There weren't 10 that really moved me a whole lot. I got five that I feel pretty good about that I enjoyed, but you know, not too many blockbusters. I am actually this afternoon, after I finish doing the show with you, my wife and I are going to go see West Side Story.
Oh,
which
okay.
I fully expect probably the next time we speak, I will say, "Remember my list of the top five? Well, I have to put this in here somewhere because everything I have heard about West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg's rendering of that great play slash movie has been stellar. So mm-hmm. I fully expect that to be maybe the best movie I've seen all year, but I haven't seen it yet. So I have to go with the five that I've seen.
All right.
Okay, this is in no particular order. I will tell you that in the realm of music, I really liked In the Heights, which was early in the year, the Lin-Manuel Miranda play put on film. Lin-Manuel Miranda is actually in it. He has sort of a minor role, but he's in it. But it's a terrifically energetic, wonderful young cast. Jimmy Smits, who a lot of people remember from TV, has a nice role in it. He's quite good. But
yeah,
the singing,
I watched it. I was surprised he could sing a little bit.
Yes, he can. I actually saw him do Shakespeare in the Park up in Central Park in New York a few years ago. And you wouldn't think of Jimmy Smits doing Shakespeare. But he's got a lot of range, and in this film, yeah, he sings and he's quite good at it. I just really liked it. I liked the energy. I liked the music. I like Lin-Manuel Miranda. I thought it was just really, really well done. So In the Heights is one of my five. Another film that I reviewed just a couple weeks ago, was Last Duel, which was a Ridley Scott film set in medieval times. Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Adam Driver. It all builds to a final, it's the last duel to the death of that time in France, and it comes down to the big showdown, this big joust between Matt Damon and Adam Driver, and it's really good. I mean, Ridley Scott, if you know Ridley Scott, of course, he did Gladiator, so he's really good at this kind of action picture, and there's some, the pace of the film is a little slow, but when it builds to the final duel, it's pretty compelling stuff. So that's in my list. Another thing that I saw that I think you would have liked, Glenn, and you may have even seen it. You're a big Bob Odenkirk fan. You're a big...
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yeah. The TV show, which wasn't on this year, is great. Yes.
Yeah, Better Call Saul.
Love it.
Yeah, and he played in a movie this year called Nobody, and it was terrific. I mean, you talk about a sleeper movie. I don't know how many people saw it, but he plays this sort of... He's introduced to you as kind of this schlumpy suburban husband, kind of a nebbishy kind of guy who lives in a neighborhood, like the trash men don't stop to pick up his trash, and he's like standing there with the cans, like nothing goes right for him. But it turns out that in his previous life, and before he met his wife and began having a family, he was like a CIA assassin. And he subjugated that whole side of his personality. And he's now living this very suburban, you know, sort of meek, mild kind of thing. But he finally gets pushed to the breaking point, and he goes back to being what he was. And I'll tell you, you wouldn't think that he could pull it off.
He's doing the old Charles Bronson role there, is he?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a, you know, we've seen this thing done before, you know,
sure,
Liam Neeson
vigilante.
And Taken. We've seen, you know, Denzel Washington as the Equalizer. It's the same thing about a CIA-trained killer who's gotten away from it but now has to go back to it. And that's what Bob Odenkirk is in this. And you wouldn't think that he could pull it off, but he does. It's really, really good. If you can find it somewhere, watch it. It's very entertaining.
Right.
And the other one was a musical biopic, the story of Aretha Franklin called Respect,
yeah.
where Jennifer Hudson is just absolutely great as the Queen of Soul. And then the last one is the one that you and I have in common. You saw it on TV. I saw it in a screening in town. Summer of Soul, the documentary it's put together about the Harlem Jazz Fest, Harlem Music Festival back in the 60s. And it was found footage. It was literally in a basement for 50 years. And Questlove of the Roots heard about it, dug it out, put it together in a film, executive produced by Jeffrey Lurie. Got to give him credit for that. And it is just absolutely wall-to-wall terrific. Might be the best film I saw all year. If I had to pick number one, probably Summer of Soul would be it.
Well, that's interesting because I am going to bring that up in a moment. All right. So, by the way, Rhea Hughes just sent me a text that says she and her son went to see Spider-Man yesterday, thought it was great. You should check it out, Ray.
Okie doke.
Okay. My best shows of 2021. I'm going to give you the runners-up first. This is 11 through 20. And I'm going to start with the documentaries because there were a lot of great music documentaries this year. Summer of Soul doesn't make my top 10, barely. It probably should. It's great. I also put Get Back, the one about the Beatles, on my runners up, and 1971, the year music changed everything. Tremendous music documentaries this year. All of these were good. I also put my runners-up list, Last Chance U Basketball. You know that theme where they've kind of
right.
found the community college, and this was a basketball, and it was great. It's terrific. Comedies that make my runners-up list. It was the final year of Kim's Convenience, a show I always enjoyed. Things We Do in the Shadows, which is a sitcom about vampires who live in Long Island, is very funny. And Ted Lasso didn't make my top 10. I liked it a lot. It wasn't as good as the first season. I think the first season coming out early in the pandemic kind of gave it a little more help. I don't want to say helped it, but made me appreciate it more. It was good this year. It wasn't great. Those are my runners up. And my runners up other shows are The Morning Show, which you and I have discussed before,
yes.
On Apple TV Plus, which is good. Line of Duty Season 6. You know I'm a huge fan of the British cop shows. And How To with John Wilson, which is on HBO Season 2 right now. I may review that next week. It's crazy, but it's phenomenal. It's really funny. All right. My top 10, Ray. 10 to 1. Number 10, Dopesick on Hulu. I don't know if I've had the chance to talk about this with you. A very tough drama based on the opioid epidemic and Purdue Pharmaceuticals' role in creating that. Michael Keaton is in. He steals the show. He's the small-town doctor who thinks he's helping his patient and then realizes too late that he's not. Dopesick on Hulu is number 10. Number 9, Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO. It is amazing, Ray, how Larry David can do it year after year. Curb is in, I will use the cliche, pretty, pretty good form. As Larry David, who really was the brains and the soul behind Seinfeld, just continues to crank out hysterical comedy. Number 8, Lupin, season 2, or part 2 as they called it. Not as great as season 1, but the French caper series. It's got great surprises and magic and James Bond-like gadgets. You would like this show. What is not to love about a gentleman bandit seeking revenge on those who have wronged his family? That is on Netflix.
Okay.
Next up, Yellowstone on NBC Paramount. It's bonanza if Hoss and Little Joe move to modern-day Montana. if Kevin Costner took over for Lauren Green and if the whole family was willing to kill and steal to protect their legacy. And for anybody who's caught up in season four, I just say that no other show is going to dare anything like the recent episode on horse mating, which I can't go into in detail, but it was something I've never seen on TV before and hope not to.
Mm.
Number six is the music documentary I'm putting on my top 10, which was McCartney 321. As I said, there were great documentaries this year. Get Back shows the Beatles, mostly Paul, creating this one with McCartney and music producer Rich Rubin. It's two guys in a studio, black and white. It goes over the Beatles' great music retrospectively. It allows for some great storytelling. Six parts, just half hour each. I mean, Ray, I definitely nerded out on going through the songbook and hearing how they put it all together. It's on Hulu, and I just love that. Number five is Hacks. Jean Smart, the actress, had a hell of a year. She played the hilarious grandmother on Mare of Easttown. We'll be getting to that soon. And then she got to play a legendary Las Vegas stand-up comedian on Hacks. It's on HBO Max. It made the subscription worth whatever I paid for it. She got the Emmy this year for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy, and boy, she deserves it. I am sure this show is going to come back for another season. I'll be all in. This was the best laugh-out-loud comedy of the year, was Hacks.
Okay.
I heard
really, really good things about it.
Yeah.
You know, the critics really loved it.
I know, which I find so amusing that you read so much about TV, and yet you watch virtually none of it.
Watch virtually nothing.
Number four, Unforgotten Season 4. I said I love the British cop shows. This was the best one of the year. Nicola Walker is the lead actor. She was terrific as the detective chasing down cold cases. Great storytelling, compelling characters, fascinating cases. It is very clear in the last episode that this is it for Forgotten, that's not coming back. So I would watch it all. If you haven't started season one, you can find it on Amazon Prime. Number three, you know how much I loved Only Murders in the Building on Hulu. It was a big year for Hulu. Three of my top 10 shows are on Hulu, and this was a great one. Steve Martin stars along with Martin Short and a very well-cast Selena Gomez, who I thought would be the weak aspect, but she's great, in a story about, three strangers who live in a luxury New York City apartment and wind up recording a true crime podcast after somebody gets murdered in their building. It's like a great version of the game Clue with laugh-out-loud moments from terrific actors. So number three is Only Murders in the Building. Number two, Ray, is Mare of Easttown. You watched it.
Yes, I did.
Maybe I got a little Delco prejudice here, but even beyond the wah-wah and the Eagles references, it was a great show. I've talked long enough. I'll let you pump this one up because I know you liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot, and we had the author, Brad Inglesby, came on our show. And talk to us when the weekend of the final episode, and we really enjoyed that. I just thought it was terrific. But the hardest part for me was the first couple episodes sorting out the characters. I thought all the male characters looked exactly alike.
Yeah, they kind of had that look. Yeah,
and I honestly for the first couple episodes, I had trouble telling one guy from the next. Guy Pierce, who plays sort of Kate Winslet's love interest. He didn't look like everybody else. He has sort of blonde hair, and so him I could figure out. The other guys, I was really having trouble sorting them out. But the one constant in the whole thing was Kate Winslet, who's the center of the story, and she was just brilliant. I mean, if the idea of Kate Winslet playing a former high school basketball star turned police detective in Delaware County,
yeah,
seems like such a stretch. I mean, you talk about Rose from the Titanic. The two characters are nothing alike. But she was really good, and the arc of her story, and Jean Smart as her mother, the story really kind of revolves around those two people and their relationship, and her trying to sort out the issues from her past and trying to solve a murder at the same time. I thought it was just brilliantly done. I thought Brad Inglesby did a great job weaving all the stories together, and it just got more compelling by the week. And as it built and it built and it built towards the end where the question is, okay, who committed the murder? I thought it was extremely well written. I thought it was brilliantly acted, and I really liked it. And You know, I don't know how I feel about it coming back, because I think where it ended, I thought it ended.
It may not work. I know.
I thought it ended in just the right place. So, but it was so successful and it did so well. I had a feeling that, you know, Brad was going to be in, sort of instructed by HBO to crank out another one. And Kate Winslet wants to do it. So,
yeah, she
wants to
do it.
Okay, good luck trying to do it again. Good luck trying to top yourself. But what they did this year, I thought was brilliant. And it was suitably rewarded by numerous Emmy nominations and Emmy Awards, and it deserved every one of them.
So that was my second favorite show of the year. And by the way, in terms of trying to figure out who committed the murder, Ray, if you'd like to tip your cap here.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
you got it.
I guessed, but
when you told me who committed the murder, I thought, oh, now that seems like a stretch, but turned out you were right.
Yeah. All right. My number one show of the year. Some shows peak early, and you talked about Mayor of Easttown. How are they going to do better than the first year? But one show that just gets better over the years is Succession on HBO. Season 3 was its best, and I think that it's got a chance, if it continues on this arc, to be regarded among the great TV dramas of the last 25 years, The Sopranos, The Wire, Breaking Bad. I mean, it's that terrific. Season 3 was right up there with those shows. Brian Cox is spectacular as a Rupert Murdoch, Ted Turner media mogul, you know, battling his family and his kids and his legacy. Role of a lifetime for him. I mean, for a guy his age to get a role like that is fortunate for him and fortunate for us. The season finale, which I just watched a week or two ago, with the intrigue and the betrayal and the double dealing, was one of the best things I've seen in TV in a long time, and sets up for a great season 4. So my number one show of the year is Succession on HBO.
Okay. Well, again, that's another one that everybody seems to like. So that seems like a good choice.
All right. So my top 10 shows of the year: Succession, Mayor of Easttown, Only Murders in the Building, Unforgotten, Hacks, McCartney 321, Yellowstone, Lupin, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Dope Sick. And your top 5 movies?
Are Respect, The Story of Aretha Franklin, In the Heights, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Nobody with Bob Odenkirk playing a CIA assassin turned suburban husband, and Summer of Soul and The Last Duel.
Very good. So we advise you to watch them all and enjoy. Let's get John in Collegeville. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right. Thanks for hanging in.
Good. I'll say this for the end, the weird moment. But the question is, Ray, you started off the show saying how the disadvantage the Eagles are at with the 3 games in 15 days, right? So I view one of the largest obstacles is the Giants game with a short week after Tuesday's game. You know, with the game on Tuesday, next day you're probably going to have a rest day or limited practice, and then, you know, obviously you got Christmas Eve and Christmas Day coming up. So, you know, what do you think the practice and planning week looks like, and what type of disadvantage do you think that puts them against the Giants?
Well, there's not going to be much time for opening presents and eggnog. I mean, they're just going to have to go straight through. I mean, yeah, I don't think they're going to have a day off. First of all, the day after on Wednesday, you're going to have guys who are going to have to come in for treatment anyway. And then the coaches are going to have to meet and start putting the game plan together. And the guys will probably have to start having some kind of work. I mean, if they're probably actually started now this week, looking ahead to the Giants, which helps because you just played them a couple weeks ago. But they're probably putting some stuff in the books now, even before the Redskins game, even before the Washington game, to try and lighten the load on the other side. Because, yeah, there is the holiday stuff, there's the family stuff, but honestly, the players are going to have to sacrifice that, which is one of the unfair aspects of the whole situation they find themselves in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, what is your weird moment in the Philadelphia sports history?
I'd say you got to say Phillies, the Game 5 World Series. You know,
of course. We waited all those days to see what would happen. The drama built up.
I mean, technically, the game by rule, under the circumstances, would have been called and the game would have been over. You know, and obviously, you can't really do it in the World Series, but, you know, having that.
No, it was something, and we got to talk about it for days. That's really a good one. I'm going to put you on hold. Ray, that versus the fog ball, already a tough debate for Ray Dinger's mind.
That they're both. Yeah, it's a World Series, a clinching World Series game suspended over 72 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I thought of that one, too. I don't know how I don't decide. I'll let Moshe decide.
Oh, you're passing on.
I'm gonna just hand this one off to Moshe.
All right, we're going to take a break. 215-592-9494. Now, when we come back, do I get to hear Ray Dinger's favorite Christmas song as a return?
Moshe already asked me for my song, and I gave it to him.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. 215-592-9494. Ray and Glenn, special Sunday edition on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.